Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the L.A. Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo. And tonight we have a special guest for you. Her name is Cheryl Curtis. And she's going to be on in about 10 minutes or so, about 8:15. And she's got, she is the Connecticut, actually. She lives in Connecticut, Hartford, Farmington, I believe. And she...
she's a professor at the University of Hartford.
Professor at the University of Hartford, and she sponsors the 9/11 events. She's done programs all around the. She did one in Canada recently, and did another one in Hartford in April, and she's doing this one
in June
on
the 17th,
where she will be introducing the I believe the new movie called Investigate Building 7. And there's a website up there, too. It's called investigatebuilding7.org. And she'll be sponsoring that event in Hartford, the University of Hartford, I believe, and, on the 17th of June, which is going to be a...
But in the meantime, I don't have a problem. But in the meantime, I want to get on to the next thing.
Ahead.
I want to have time for the video audio that we're going
well,
to.
Well, the audio is introducing part of this thing. Okay.
So we want to have
so
time for
because
that.
What happened is that, and I want to suggest you can go to this video on my website, lasteelshow.org, and I just put it up there today. Actually, it's called Out of Chaos, Part Three: Men with No Morals. It's a short section of this actual movie, part three of this particular movie, Out of Chaos 3. But I really liked it because it gave you an overall of the kind of characters that we were dealing with in 9/11. All right? And it's called Out of Chaos 3, Men with No Morals.
All right.
And we will check that out.
During World War II, there was an American working for a bank. Now, I don't need to tell you that this period in history was rife with opportunity for people of low morals, people like this man. He used his position with the Nazis to enrich himself while all around him people were being stripped of everything they owned. All lies, all evil deeds, they stink. You can cover them up for a while, but they don't go away.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September the 11th.
John O'Neill was the FBI's leading expert on Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden. O'Neill quit his job at the FBI after he was blocked from investigating the activities of several aviation students who were training at a CIA-connected flight school known as Huffman Aviation in Venice, Florida. These men, who would later become the lead pilots accused of the 9/11 terrorist attacks, have a very interesting background. Mohammed Atta, the lead hijacker, once listed his address as the Pensacola Air Naval Station. He also liked to hang out at strip clubs and consume cocaine, two things that are strictly prohibited by Islamic law. These hijackers apparently got their Saudi passports as well as their funding through a man named Omar Sheikh, who had connections with both Osama bin Laden and General Mahmoud Ahmed of the ISI, which is the Pakistani intelligence equivalent of the CIA. Ahmed was identified as the money man behind the $100,000 wire transfer to lead hijacker Mohammed Atta just days before 9/11. The ISI has a long history with the CIA, going back to the Iran-Contra scandal and a drug money laundering front known as the Bank of Credit and Commerce International. BCCI's tenants were, among others, Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, and George H.W. Bush. In fact, BCCI is the only connection between Saddam Hussein and 9/11 that is known to exist. Huffman Aviation also has a history with the CIA. Located next to Barnum and Bailey Circus, CIA agents were sent here to learn piloting skills at the flight school and sleight of hand from the magicians after the Bush administration blocked John O'Neill from investigating these potential terrorists, he left the FBI and was persuaded to apply for a position as head of security at the World Trade Center. He was hired to start on September 10th and died his second day on the job, the Tuesday of 9/11. The next day, Jeb Bush would have all the records from Huffman Aviation thrown into the back of a truck and hastily driven straight onto a C-130, which took off never to be seen again. Nothing suspicious or anything. But let's get back to Marvin Bush and his role on the board of directors for Securicom, which ran security at the World Trade Center up until June of 2000 when Kroll Associates took over. According to Elevator Magazine, there was a 9-month complete renovation done to the elevators and elevator shafts in the two World Trade Center Twin Towers performed by the Ace Elevator Company. According to William Rodriguez, a janitor at the World Trade Center, there was constant construction going on inside these buildings and tenants' offices were getting moved around quite frequently. Finally, according to Scott Forbes and Ben Fountain, there was a full-scale power down and evacuation of the Twin Towers the weekend before 9/11. And before the Monday when John O'Neill would take over as head of security. Given this series of events, it is certainly plausible that Marvin Bush, the president's brother, having full, unrestricted security access to these buildings, could have cleared work teams dressed as elevator repairmen to rig these buildings with super thermite and other explosives. Blueprints and pictures show us that a simple cut through 1 or 2 inches of drywall inside the elevator shafts of the Twin Towers yields unrestricted access to 4-foot crawl spaces between floors, where explosives could easily be hidden throughout the building without detection.
As if a demolition team set off when you see the old demolition in the old building.
It looks like one of those scenes of an old building being purposely dynamited and blown up.
Yet Al-Qaeda chose to ruthlessly murder these people, claimed credit for the attack, and even now states their determination to kill on a massive scale.
Who can we conclude is most likely the mastermind behind 9/11? Do you still think it was just Al-Qaeda? Or could Al-Qaeda really be Al-CIA-da? Of course, it wasn't the whole CIA, just an elite group of well-connected opportunists. Alvin Bernard, or Buzzy Krongard, was third in the CIA before 9/11 and was connected to a firm that purchased put options on American and United Airlines during the week leading up to 9/11. Options were also placed on Merrill Lynch, one of the largest World Trade Center tenants. This is clear evidence of insider trading and foreknowledge connected directly with the CIA. Krongard is also connected with Eric Prince of Blackwater, another company that made a fortune off the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. The Bin Laden Construction Group was hired to build permanent U.S. bases in Iraq, so the Bin Laden family benefited from 9/11 as well. Osama, the black sheep of the family, was a small price to pay, considering the benefits. The Bush and Bin Laden families have been friends and business partners through the Carlyle Group for over 25 years. The Bush family can also be connected to nearly every single facet of the 9/11 conspiracy, from the very conception of Al-Qaeda and the Mujahideen under the Carter administration, where George Bush Sr. was director of Central Intelligence, to the Iran-Contra scandal, where he was vice president under Reagan. In fact, George H.W. Bush is the only person to ever be vice president, president, and director of the CIA.
I've got to be honest with you. When the September 11th situation happened, I didn't know that. And I must say, and I want to say this because it's, I want to take it lightly. It's not a light situation. It's a devastating act. It was really a bad thing. One of the worst things I've seen in my lifetime, you know. But I will tell you, and every trader will tell you, who was not in that building and who was buying gold and who owned gold and silver, that when it happened, the first thing you thought about was, well, how much is gold up? The first thing that came to mind was, my God, gold must be exploding. Fortunately for us, all our clients were in gold. So when it went up, they all doubled their money. Everybody doubled their money. It was a blessing in disguise. Devastating, crushing, heart-shattering, but on a financial sense. For my clients that were in the market, they all made money. Now, I wasn't looking for this type of help. But it happened. When the U.S. bombed Iraq back in 1991, the price of oil went from $13 to $40 a barrel, for Christ's sake. Now, we couldn't wait for the bombs to start raining down on Saddam Hussein. We were all excited. We wanted Saddam to really create problems. Do whatever you have to do. Set fire to some more oil wells because the price is going to go higher. Every broker was chanting that. There was not a broker that I know of that wasn't excited about that. This was a disaster. This was something that was, you know, catastrophe happening, bombing, wars. In devastation, there is opportunity, 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 opportunity.
That was the guy who was a commodities trader during 9/11. Still is a commodities trader, I guess. But this kind of gives you an idea of what, why we're, you know, Lila and I have been advocating investigation for years on this thing, so ever since 9/11, and on our radio shows, and now Cheryl, who's coming up in a short while, along with so many other people, have been.
We're a voice asking for the same thing.
Like Richard, we've had Richard Gage on the show, and architects and engineers. We've had Ray Griffin, David Ray Griffin, and a bunch of other people. Who she's sponsoring events for these people.
Oh, that's
and she should be you know. Yeah, sure. Them, but commended
for keeping them in the limelight.
Yeah, I know.
It's very easy. It's very easy to forget about these things. 9/11 is a long time ago now.
But I think what's interesting,
it's kind of faded into history.
Yeah, but
people like her are keeping it alive and saying the written history is not correct.
I think what's fascinating is that she operates out of the University of Hartford. And so that, you know, a private university that's challenging the, allowing
she
her
may
to
be,
do that. So.
She's maybe an adjunct professor. I don't know what she is.
Whatever
but
she is, she's
it doesn't,
working there.
Or it maybe doesn't have anything to do with the university.
It doesn't
they
matter.
Just,
the university is allowing her to sponsor
stuff. She's having events there.
So I commend the university for that. You don't? Well, okay. Lila, you seem to be so contrary tonight.
No, I'm not, Leo. It's just that we don't know what the university's position is on this.
Well,
the event is there.
We'll ask her. But all we can ask, all we can say is they must be somewhat in favor of it.
Well, maybe
or else they wouldn't. They would never.
Maybe they sponsor All Voices, that kind of thing.
Maybe.
Doesn't mean that they're in favor of it.
Yeah.
Maybe they allow All Voices, which is good in today's world.
Okay. So I guess we accept that. So what I wanted to do is, since we got about a minute, so I'm going to call our guest.
And we'll get her on and find
and
out the answer to those questions.
And we'll be right there in a second.
It takes a minute for Leo to type in the number. But the event that she's sponsoring is on the 17th. At the University of Hartford. I'm not sure what time it is, but it's that movie that we just heard a segment of it.
No, it's not that movie.
Oh, that's I thought it was.
No, that's not the movie. The movie Investigate Building 7.
Oh, Investigate Building. I'm sorry. I apologize. I thought that was from the movie, but it's not.
No.
Nonetheless, it's a very good segment.
Very good segment. We're calling our guest Cheryl Curtis.
Hello.
Hello, Cheryl. This is Lila and Leo from the LA Steel Show.
Yes, hi. How are you?
We're fine, thank you. And how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
We're very pleased to have you on the show this evening.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah, we just played I was hoping to play a segment from your show, and we've done so much over the years on 9/11 through our television and radio and everything that there was a really pretty good movie that's out on YouTube right now, and it's called Chaos. What was Order of Chaos?
Order out of chaos.
I
don't think I've heard that one. Yeah.
What it was, what we just did is I just played this segment because, you know, it's called Out of Chaos is the name of the movie. It's up on YouTube, and it's in about 10 segments. But there's one segment that was very, very revealing, and I played it, which is called No Men with No Morals. And it introduced the diabolical characters behind the 9/11
events,
you know, George Bush and his brother Prescott, and the Trade Towers incident, and the
Jeb Bush, not Prescott.
No, Prescott and Jeb. Prescott was the security guy for WTC.
Marvin Bush and Wirt Walker, yeah, his cousin Wirt Walker and his brother Marvin, yeah.
And Jeb was involved in Florida as well, where he got rid of the evidence on.
From the flight school people,
and really a fascinating segment. But I know that you're promoting a one called Investigate Building 7, and maybe you can go into that a little bit.
It's not just Investigate Building 7. It's going to be architect Richard Gage, who founded Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And he's got, I think he was at 1,699 signatories who all want a new investigation of 9/11 on his website. I would encourage people to check that out. But he's coming to show his movie, his latest movie, or the architect's latest movie called 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out. Yeah, and so it's about all of the towers, not just Building 7. And then there's also a segment in it on psychological resistance, where there's a lot of psychologists talking about why people don't want to let this in and don't want to explore it. And so that's kind of interesting, too.
Now, you sponsored a number of 9/11 events at the University of Hartford over time.
Yes, back in 2005, we had, through the Peace Group, we had David Ray Griffin come and speak at Town Hall in West Hartford, and then he's been back, two more times at the University of Hartford, and then in 2007, we did a symposium at, it was held at St. Joseph's College here in West Hartford, and we had people like Richard Gage was there, and... I'm trying to think of who else was there. The family members, Manny Badillo and Bob McElvain, and people who lost their loved ones in the towers were there. And, I can't even remember all of them now. But who's the guy who wrote about the Martin Luther King assassination? William Pepper, attorney William Pepper was there. And it was well attended. We had a really good turnout. It was a good event.
Well,
Ed Asner showed up. He was in town doing a play down at the Hartford stage, and he came and spoke for about 10 minutes to the crowd, so that was kind of a nice surprise. And actually, Cynthia McKinney showed up, too, the former congresswoman from Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good. You had a nice collection of supporters. That's really wonderful. What got you involved into the 9/11 movement? When did you discover that it just ain't so, what the government said?
Well, I was actually, I believe the official story for probably 4 or 5 months into 2002. And then I had a friend who lives out in the Litchfield area who kept telling me that there was a lot of questions and that the evidence just didn't add up. And I kind of thought he was a little crazy until I read David Ray Griffin's book, The New Pearl Harbor. And then I read another book by Nafiz Ahmed called The War on Freedom, I believe it was. And he talked about the geopolitics of it all. And that's what made me say, hey, there's more to this, because I realized that they were trying to get the pipeline through Afghanistan, and the Taliban wouldn't let us do it. And then we appoint Karzai, who was a consultant for Unocal, the oil company, as you know, we made him the president and stuff. So then it all started to fit together. I started researching more.
You know, it's kind of funny. We were the first show to have David Ray Griffin on. It was the first
radio
show that he
interviewed. Yeah.
And It was funny because he retired from Claremont College that same evening. He gave his final speech, and we had him on right after from his office. But
yes,
but the interesting thing about David is that he is public. I remember so well his publicist. Publicist. It was his actual. Actually, it was the publisher who was trying to notify people. She had sent out over 500 books to different radio shows and news media. And
uh-huh.
And what I did is I saw an interview of him in the San Francisco Chronicle about his book, and I contacted his publishers right away. And she said I was the I'd be the first person to go. It'd been out for a while, and he had a.
And nobody would interview him.
But Ed Asner had actually written a piece in the USA Today. But we were fortunate to get David on
Yeah. You know, 9/11 is a taboo subject. You know, you can't really talk about it
I mean, it was like. We were going up against George Bush and the war and everything else, and when 9/11 was when David came up with 9/11, it was everything that we had suspected, but and everything.
But he gave a good explanation
about.
For everything.
He was the first real good explanation, and then we turned him on to Jimmy Walter. I don't know if you're familiar with Jimmy Walter's work, but
No, I'm not.
Reopened 9/11. And he was the first guy to ever have a full panel of experts come out. I believe that was in 2004.
Yeah, in New York.
In 2003-2004 at the Manhattan Center in New York, and he had all of the 911 stars there. I should say he had David Griffin. Was on videotape actually. He had in plain sight Dave Von Kleist. His first DVD VCR actually video that came out on 9/11, and then he had Bowman and what was the other guy? Christopher. Christopher with the
Olin.
Thank
Olin?
You.
Yeah.
Christopher Olin. And he had a tremendous panel. In fact, it was hosted by Ed Begley, believe it or not, who later said that who later denied any involvement.
Any involvement? He hosted
and
was very supportive.
And I have him on film to prove it. But
he probably got a lot of pressure from other groups saying don't go there. So.
Well, he'd been there for a number of years. A lot of years, and all of a sudden,
and then
the last year, somebody put the squeeze on him, and he went.
Right.
He's been doing Fox News, I heard, for the last couple of years, and they've been having him on. So he kind of changed sides, became a Prius driving liberal to
a Mercedes driving conservative,
Mercedes driving conservative.
You know, that's one of the things I like about the 9/11 truth movement is that we span the political spectrum, and I think that's great. There's really liberal people and really conservative, and I like that because that's where you have power. There's no power if you try and relate to people who are socialist or people who are libertarian or the power is in uniting. And we all have a lot of commonalities that I think the media and the propaganda machine try and make it look like we're all very separate when I would say that agree on 80% of everything.
No, what Leo was saying is that he then denied that 9/11 happened.
Yeah, he became a denier, and then he became a complete jerk, and a sellout. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there was nothing.
Who knows what that's all about? Who knows?
That happens. It's been happening all over the place. And that's why the truth movement has been losing ground.
I don't see that the truth movement is losing ground. I think it's gaining ground. That's what I see. I think it's really growing. I mean, if you look at Richard Gage, he decided to go on a 30-city tour, or, you know, a tour to premiere this movie, and he immediately got 30 cities across the country where there's already organized groups ready to support him and put this together in very short notice. And I see it, the movement growing.
I think, right.
It had a, you know, there was a lull between maybe the 10th anniversary and January, but then it picked up again.
What is your objective with bringing all this information out? Do you have a personal goal with this?
Well, you know, once I learned about what really didn't happen, and I can't tell you exactly what happened, but obviously there's some inside job to it, and as the Italian president, former President Cossiga, premier, said that it was everyone in the intelligence communities around the world know that it was the CIA and the Mossad that did 9/11. Now, who knows if he's right or not, but anyway, so once you know that 9/11 is not what we've been told, and you look at the consequences, and we're still being, our civil liberties are being taken away as we speak, you know, we're in wars, we're attacking many countries, we've killed millions of people, and it's based on lies, and for me as a citizen, I can't sit back and let that happen. The fact that we've killed over a million Iraqis, I mean, I cringe at that. That is just so... on lies, we're doing it everywhere. That, how do you sit back and not act on that? That's how I feel about it. So I'm just trying to educate as many people as I can about to question, to look at what, because the evidence, as you know, is so vast, contradicting the official story, that all people have to do is enter at any point along that story and it falls apart. The official story just falls apart anywhere you enter it. You just look, the evidence is there to contradict it. So if you can just get people to take a look at it, and I think we need to do that, because if we don't, we're going to lose our country and we're going to be killing a lot of people in the process. And I think people need to know that. And also, I think it's 9/11 is just one thing that they've done, the power elite, and they'll do it again, and they've probably done it other things. And so if we, this is like their Achilles heel. It's big with the internet. There's a lot of people. You can get information easily online. So that this might be the place where we can catch them and stop them. So that's why I do it. I'm just hoping that we can have a better world.
Yeah, there's so much evidence now, out there that, it's so overwhelming. But nobody really wants to hear it, you're never going to hear it in the mainstream media anywhere. You're not going to hear it. Even on the internet, talk of 9/11 is really, really died down in all the major outlets. But
yeah, what I think that is I think that like most of the research that's possible to be done has been done. And so for those of us in the movement, once you kind of learn the facts and you learn what's going on, then you're kind of just being redundant and talking about the same facts again. So I think that's where we need to shift our focus and try to do things to expose it to other people.
How is this going to be different in the drift into history, like the death of John Kennedy?
Or Bin Laden.
Or the death of Martin Luther King? The death of Bobby Kennedy, which wiped away the backbone of the liberal movement in this country, and they've never recovered. How is this event going to be any different than those cover-ups?
Well, as I say, I think, in my opinion, those were all done by probably the same group of people, or the same, family of people, and through the generations, and probably you could say the 1% might sum it up nicely. And, they'll do it again. And I don't know if you saw the movie A Noble Lie about the Oklahoma City bombing, which looks like has a lot of the similar discrepancies and inconsistencies that 9/11 has. They've done it over and over again, and they will continue to do it. But I think with 9/11, because it's impacted so many people around the world, and with the internet, which we didn't have before, people can get immediate access to this information, and I encourage them to do so. So I see this as their Achilles heel. If we can really go with this, then we can show who they are and how their tactics, and hopefully stop them. So that's why, I think it's important to educate other people and not to get really negative about it, because it's out there, and all you need is you know, Richard Gage to go on a tour, and everybody gets excited again in the movement and starts, you know, doing their thing. And I see it here because, you know, I have the radio show here, and I see that over the years it has changed this feeling in the air of people. People are more open to it. People talk to one another. And maybe you see that from doing your radio show, that it does spread, mm-hmm. and it makes it less taboo also.
I want to ask you what is the radio show that you do, and what time does it air so people can listen to it?
Yeah, it's called 9/11 Wake Up Call, and it's on WWUH, University of Hartford radio station, 91.3 FM, and it airs there every Wednesday at noon. And then it also is at Wesleyan University at 88.1 FM on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. But people can also get the shows. They're archived on two different websites. The earlier shows are at ct911truth.org, and the other ones are at radioforall.net, and that's the number four, the digit four, radioforall.net. And if you just look under Cheryl, you'll find the shows there. And also that Connecticut website, ct911truth.org, I would encourage people to check that out. There's a lot of really good information there. And our earlier conference at St. Joe's in 2007, all the video from that is there also, if people want to see that and see Ed Asner, et cetera.
How many events do you try to have in Hartford a year?
Well, I don't know that we have any specific number, but we like to keep it going. And over the last couple of years, we've actually developed a good-sized group of people who want to work on it, on the 9/11 issues. And so we meet once a month, more or less, and we have a potluck, and we plan, and we, you know, try and keep it going. So
have you had any trouble trying to keep it going, or do you find that people are very interested in this?
Well, the first year we did the program at St. Joseph's College, the Advocate wrote up a very nasty article about, well, it was sort of mixed, but the title of the article was "The Elders of Zion Blamed for 9/11," and we had nothing at our conference about the Elders of Zion at all. I didn't even know what they were until just last year, what that was all about. So the Advocate wrote up this really untrue story about it, and so this time we went to St. Joe's first to try and do the one we did last year in March, and they refused, and they wouldn't tell me why, but I'm guessing that was it. So we do encounter that, but through the radio station we're able to use the venues at the University of Hartford, and this event's going to be at Town Hall, so there's an openness to it.
I was going to ask you if the colleges or universities supported you, or is it just that they allow many voices or different voices?
Well, I mean, the university radio stations support me.
Mm-hmm.
The managers of the radio station support me. I mean, they asked me to do the show, so, you know, they support it. The colleges themselves, I don't know, and I find it very hard to reach the students, but the listening audience seems to be responsive to it and receptive. So
you don't have a lot of students coming, young people from
the not too many. No, they don't. No, we don't.
That's too
I wish
bad.
That were different, but yeah.
Because I think it's
the Occupy Wall Street thing. Are they involved with that too, or are they kind of indifferent toward that?
Yeah, you know, I don't have a sense of that. I don't really know. But I'm glad to see that they're involved in the Occupy Wall Street, and maybe the financial, you know, pieces, they're getting out, they're going through college and they're going to be out and have trouble finding a job. Maybe that, you know, hits them in a more personal level, and that's good. I'm glad that they're active in that.
Well, and by being active in that, the thread will lead back to 9/11.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You mean, because
who's benefiting? Right. Who's benefiting from 9/11?
That's right. All those threads lead to one place. I mean, man, it's a big tapestry, but it all leads right back to the same 1%.
And right.
When people catch on to that, they're really horrified. Because most Americans that I know are very good, kind people. They have big hearts. They donate to the poor. They do all kinds of nice things for their neighbors. They're nothing like the people behind 9/11. It's almost like the people behind 9/11 are foreign to us, to the people that I know.
Well, they're certainly evil. That's for sure. Yeah.
I mean, it's nothing like the people I know. I don't know any people like that. Thank God, really.
Right. Who could attack Iraq and kill all those innocent people and then go into Pakistan, Afghanistan and do it all? Yeah, it's horrible.
And blow up the trade center just because it would be give them an advantage in the world financially.
Right, right.
And give them more power. You know, I don't know people like that, and it's very frightening to think that those are the people that are behind our government.
Mm-hmm.
They're the faces that you don't always see. Some of them you do, but a lot of them you don't.
Yeah, it's what Peter Dale Scott calls the deeper state that are operating there. Yeah. I also wanted to just share with you that several of us in New England who have radio shows created a website called Media Professionals for 9/11 Truth, and we had people from all over the world signing on to it. So people can just Google that if they want to go see it. It might be. I know it was under construction, and I'm not sure if it's back online right now. But you know, keep checking because that will be up. And and there's a lot of us out there. You know, I have a friend who's in Westerly who has a radio show on 9/11, and there's someone in Great Barrington, Mass, who has one, and people up in Keene, New Hampshire. And then a lot of cable access stations. People are putting 9/11 stuff on there. I see it all the time.
Well, that's good that it's not been forgotten, that it's still being kept alive on community access, because that's an important way to reach people.
Yeah, we're very lucky to have that. That is a good thing.
Now, you were saying, and I really didn't hear what the finish of it, that you got interested in 9/11 about 4 or 5 months after the event, and it was because of a person that you talked to?
Right. It was a friend of mine. He lives in Litchfield, the Litchfield area, and he was telling me about it, and I, you know, as I said, I thought he was crazy at first, but he often turns out to be right about things when I do think he's crazy at first, so I decided to read a few books on it, and sure enough, there was, you know, I started to doubt it. But, you know, it's a real shift, a mental shift to have to take that on, and you know, because you're being bombarded on the corporate media all the time with the official story, and so you can't help but have that be in your brain, you know, and then to try and take in the different story. And who wants to? It's inconvenient, it's uncomfortable. But, you know, when I finally came to terms with it and said, wow, you know, we've been lied to, and this is pretty serious. And it took me, it was a process. It took me probably a good 6 to 8 months to maybe even a year to keep reading to really make the commitment to that we've been lied to. You know, I kept saying, well, it sure looks like it, but let me read some more. And, you know, and so by 2003, I was totally committed to, you know, knowing that we'd been lied to and to wanting to do something about it.
I know. It's really awful when everything that you've believed in isn't true. And an event like this really shows you that it isn't true, that what you've believed in this country and what you've been taught, if you went to a public school or a private school in this country, you've been taught certain things. I mean, you've been taught revisionist history. And a lot of events aren't true, but this is such a recent one that we've all lived through. And to have it buried like it's been and reported inaccurately in the press and continually inaccurately is a real tragedy for all Americans, I think.
I agree, yeah. I mean, it really, and it does, it shatters your worldview, and you have to really adjust, and it's a process. It takes some time, so, you know.
It's a hard thing.
To make that leap. Yeah.
No, it's really interesting, and it's the power of one. One person talked to you, and then...
Absolutely, yeah.
And it shows the power that one person can have. It's
mm-hmm.
amazing. And now you've taken this, and you're sharing with many people. And that's
right. Right, and it all goes back to that one person. You're absolutely right. And, you know, I would also like to just jump in here and add that if there's any people in the listening audience who are doubtful or who think we're crazy or whatever, those are the kind of people that we want to come to the conference, to the movie showing with Richard Gage on June 17th, because, you know, you have to see the evidence. If you don't look into what we're saying, I can see from, you know, why it sounded crazy to me in the beginning. So I really want to encourage anybody who's in doubt or thinks we're crazy to just come and watch the movie and listen to some of the facts. And then, you know, if you still think we're crazy, great, you can go home and that's fine. But don't think we're crazy and don't criticize us if you're not willing to look at the evidence. So I really want to encourage those people to come out and check out the movie. It's on June 17th at 7 p.m. at the West Hartford Town Hall.
It's at the West Hartford Town Hall?
Yes, in their auditorium on the third floor.
Oh, okay. So
yeah.
I'm sure that there'll be many people there, and I hope our listeners decide to venture out to West Hartford. And I know I'm very interested in attending. I think it'll be a great event.
What is the movie about that Richard Gage has put out?
Well, he has a series of experts in different areas of architecture, engineers, chemists, physicists, everyone, and they're all talking about why what the official story says about how the towers came down couldn't possibly be true, and then they give you the reasons behind that, you know, the physical evidence, and so that you can see what they're talking about. And then there's a part of the movie that's got all there's psychologists and, you know, mental health professionals talking about why people find it so hard to take this on, and they talk about their own experience about learning this. And so it's a very powerful combination of hearing the facts and then hearing the psychologist talk. So it's really well done.
Great. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah.
I think it'd be well worthwhile. Now, is there a cost, or is there a donation, or how are you?
There is a cost, and I don't know. Am I allowed to tell you that on the air? Can
why not?
You're, why not?
Okay,
you can tell us.
Okay, on non-commercial radio, we're not allowed to say that. So okay, it's $10. It's $10 a ticket, and you can get them online by going to 911expertspeakout.org. Or you can get them by going to ae911truth.org. And it's through PayPal you can order them. Or you can get them at the door. And
okay.
We really appreciate it if people buy the tickets in advance so we have an idea of how many people are coming. But if you can't do that, then they'll be sold at the door also.
And that's June 17th at 7 o'clock at the West Hartford Town Hall.
Right. It's a Sunday. Yep. 7 o'clock, June 17th.
And when can they, and how do they get, what site do they go to now to get it?
911expertspeakout.org, is that correct?
911expertspeakout.org, yep.
That's great.
So tell me, I know that you're optimistic, you have to be, but... What do you see in the next couple of years with this ever getting prosecuted by anybody?
Well, you know, I mean, I can't tell you exactly. I don't see the future, but all I can say is, you know, in Malaysia this past, I think it was last month, or was it still in May? I can't remember, but they had a war crimes tribunal there, and they found Bush and Blair guilty of war crimes, and I think Cheney and Rumsfeld. And if people around the world were acting responsibly and international law hadn't been shattered through the last two regimes we've had in power, Bush and Obama, then, you know, some people might be acting on that around the world. But there is pressure, and people are supposed to be not allowing, if any of those characters enter their country, they're supposed to be arresting them if they belong to the war crimes tribunal.
So his trips abroad, and Bush can't talk anywhere. He can't even get into Canada now. So
right, and that's really encouraging. They shouldn't be able to. Look at the number of people they've murdered around the world.
Oh,
I mean, based
terrible.
On lies. Yeah.
And that guy from Charles something or other. What was his name? I should know this. The guy that just got 50 years. Who was the dictator of
the African country.
Yeah.
Oh, was it Taylor?
Taylor, yeah. Charles Taylor, yeah.
Yeah, what
yeah.
was it? And he was, I forget what country it
is
was.
Is it Nigeria?
I thought it was.
Liberia?
Liberia, maybe it's Liberia.
Liberia. Yeah, Liberia.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he just got 50 years for war crimes. But and his war crimes weren't half as bad as the Bush war crimes. You know, I mean, as far as the number of people that are actually affected, you know, I mean, Bush and Cheney's war crimes, you know, affected hundreds of millions of people. Or,
oh, absolutely, yeah.
And still
absolutely.
Are. Liz.
So you know, there is that happening in different countries around the world, and you know, they did what they did. They are criminals, you know, and eventually, I do believe that truth eventually catches up and, you know, eventually it comes out. So will it happen, you know, in our lifetime? I don't know, but I'm certainly, you know, working as hard as I can to make that happen, and I know you are, too, with your radio show. So, you know.
Do you believe that Osama bin Laden was killed by the great, great Obama?
No,
No.
I've heard two different accounts of that. In David Ray Griffin's book, Osama bin Laden, Dead or Alive, he shows a lot of the evidence that he died actually in December of 2001.
Which would
only be four, and it was in the Pakistani newspapers. I've also heard, I think it's Robert Baer or some other CIA agent saying that he died in 2006.
Yeah.
That could just be a distraction. I don't know. But certainly, in that Abbottabad place where they supposedly found him, the neighbors said they never saw anything. They never thought he was living there. And I think also it just wasn't – the whole story doesn't add up. And then the Navy SEALs who were there supposedly were all killed in another crash like maybe a month later. So and then to throw the body in the water – you know, based on trying to be, you know, consistent with Muslim customs. I mean, do we really care in Iraq or Afghanistan about Muslim customs? I think that whole thing is a joke. And anybody with a brain would know that that's the best way to hide the evidence, that it's not Osama bin Laden. So, and there's another crime if you think about who did they kill and whose body did they throw in the ocean if they threw a body in, you know, or if they killed anyone in that compound. I mean, there were probably innocent people there.
But what you really know is that dead men don't talk.
Yes, exactly.
There'll be no books written about that if they've all been killed.
Well, I think the biggest issue is that, you know, against Obama here and any belief that we have in that system is that Pakistan denounced any dealings at all, having him at all in their country. And said that wasn't Osama bin Laden and that the whole operation was a fraud, you know. And of course, Pakistan is now getting ready to face the wrath of Obama, you know, and he already is in 30 drones every they're killing 30, 40 people a day with drones.
Oh, I know,
there.
I know.
And
you know, we're getting drones now in the U.S. They've just recently passed some kind of a law where by the year, I think 2017, we'll have over 30,000 drones flying over the U.S., both government and commercial. I mean, that scares me to death.
Isn't that something?
Well, spying on you.
Yeah, exactly.
30,000 drones in this country.
Well, when they run out of countries to explode and kill and destroy, they'll just turn on you, on us. That's all. That's what happens.
Well, do you believe that there is we're close to a major social upheaval here?
I don't know. You know, I thought we were having that with the Occupy in the fall, and I don't know if people are getting ready to do that again, or if the government has been so brutal in their clampdown on the major areas where, you know, New York, Oakland, et cetera, that people are having second thoughts about it, or if maybe they're regrouping. I'm not sure. I don't really have a sense of that.
It came out really strong in Chicago this month.
Right.
No media coverage on that.
No media coverage, but there was a lot of stuff going on there. I saw a lot of video accounts of it. But, you know, again, the mainstream media has ignored the entire movement.
Right.
Anything going on in Chicago there, you can forget about it.
I've got to admire those Occupy Wall Street folks, though. Yeah. I think I think they really did a good job to bring a lot of attention to a lot of people about what's happening in their lives.
And I don't think they're done.
I don't think they're finished either. I hope not. I just hope they haven't been infiltrated.
I'm sure that they've been infiltrated. I'm sure that they have. I don't know if you have seen the movie COINTELPRO 101
I read about the whole program before, but I didn't see our program.
That's worth seeing. I don't know if you can see it online or not, but that's worth seeing. And also, Kevin Zeese has written two articles on infiltration of peace groups, et cetera. And you can find them on globalresearch.ca. That's a Canadian website. And or just Google Kevin Zeese, I think. And they're eye-opening to me. I did an interview with him after reading the articles. I was so shocked by what I was reading.
Do you feel our movement has been infiltrated?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Do you feel like the 9/11 movement has been infiltrated?
Oh, I think it's heavily infiltrated, yeah, I do. See, anything that could possibly threaten the leaders, and they're infiltrating. I mean, that is one of their key tactics, and, yeah, I'm sure we are.
Do you find that any of your events are trying to be, that anybody's trying to discredit them, or...
No, I don't see that yet, but I do see it nationally, on the national level.
Oh, okay.
So,
but not on a regional level when you're giving an event, sponsoring an event.
I haven't seen that yet, no. I mean, that's not to say they're not there, but, you know, I think in the Connecticut area we're kind of a small community,
mm-hmm.
and so maybe it's more difficult to, I'm not sure, you know, there may be a few infiltrators here and there. I think there are people who try to keep it from spreading. I do see that locally.
Oh, really?
You know, they're there to kind of make it more taboo and, you know, like you're crazy and stuff and that kind of thing I see. You know, rather than just being quiet and saying, well, that's not for me and I don't agree with you, these people are more vocal about it and make a scene. So they could be, but, you know, it's hard to know. But
so they make a scene at your event?
No, not at our events, but sort of when we're in groups, like with the anti-war folks and stuff, they don't want the anti-war group to go that way. So I do see some of that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I see.
Yeah.
All right.
But don't you find that a lot of anti-war people are also 9/11 truthers?
I think that what I have found from going to the different events, like in Stamford recently, there was the UNAC had their anti-war, you know, meet up there in March, and I see the rank and file are open to 9/11. It's really the organizers and the leadership that is not. And that leads me to believe that they've been infiltrated heavily.
Because back in the day, back in 2002, 2003, when we were interviewing everybody on this and all the way up, but the thing we found was that it wasn't until I think in 2002, 2003, it was still pretty raw. A lot of the stuff was pretty raw. The information coming out was great. And it was very rough. Then around 2004, 2005, we started seeing it getting infiltrated, all of a sudden we started seeing all these reports come out, and then of course when the 9/11 investigation happened, then it all got blown out of shape because they denied everything, you know. And then even the what was it back in, I forgot what year it was, 2008, I think, or 2009, all the chairman of the
commission, all the guys on the panel
mm-hmm. came out and said it was a totally bogus
investigation
and they got absolutely nothing out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So
right from the
horse's mouths, okay?
Right, but the media didn't cover that either, did they? The corporate media.
No, of course not. No,
yeah.
You didn't get it in the mainstream, but it was. But it did come out, and I saw the quote and I read it on our show. But yeah, you know, it's just totally overwhelming. You know that we can be so brainwashed, so. You know,
well, that's why that tool of television was developed to control the masses,
you know,
and it does a good job.
And you know, you don't hear about it anymore. Not in typical conversation anywhere, like it used to be. And I don't know. I found it to be just another case of giving a guy. You know, it's no different than giving Obama the Nobel Prize for Peace. You know, it just whatever the media wants to happen, whatever the government wants to happen, or the 1%, if you will, that's what's out there. You know, and that's about all you get. And I stopped reading.
Yeah. Yeah, well, wasn't it William Colby who was the once was the head of the CIA, and when he stepped down, he said that there wasn't anyone of any significance in the corporate media that wasn't controlled by the CIA.
Colby,
and then
yeah, that was Colby.
Yeah, so if you think about that, you know, you're getting total propaganda. And
yeah.
I hope that people are starting to see that. I know less and less people watch the corporate news, so hopefully that's getting out there, but...
I think a lot of more people are beginning to see that, not only, you know, on a national level, but on a state level, too. And they see how corrupt things are, and but they don't really know what they can do about it.
Right.
The next step is that people will decide what they're going to do about it, you know, and there's going to be some social upheaval, I think, because I think people have had it. They're kind of fed up.
Well, I think
the economy is so bad.
See it in the polls first,
yeah.
And then you're going to start seeing it on the streets.
I'm surprised when I talk to people, the number of people say, "I just don't want to vote." This is the first election, they'll say, that I just don't want to vote in. I just know that everybody's the same at the top.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter. My vote doesn't count anymore.
And Lila works in she's a counselor in a school, and you know, and a lot of the people we know. Our educational people.
Well, and I just know a lot of just
people.
Well, I think actually that's a very smart thing to say, because they get it that, you know, whether it's Bush or Obama or Democrat or Republican, that the real people pulling the strings it's the same, and the same thing's going to happen. And that's why I see all these people putting so much energy into working for the presidential candidates. It's like, you know, it's nice to be involved, but you're wasting your time, in my opinion. And I would like to see us all either boycott the presidential election or everybody vote third party.
Right.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I'd like to see, too. The one thing that I'd really like to see on a ballot is the ability to tear it up. Say, this stinks, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And can't have it count that way. But we've come just about to the end of our time. And tell us once more where your event is going to be, who's going to be there, and what time it starts and how much it is.
Okay, so it's going to be Richard Gage. He's the founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And it's going to be, he's on a 30-city tour across the U.S., and he'll be stopping in West Hartford on Sunday, June 17th at 7 p.m., and he's going to be showing their latest movie called 9/11 Explosive Evidence Experts Speak Out. And then he'll have a Q&A with the audience after. And he's really very intelligent and well-spoken and personable, and it'll be a great time. And we'll also have refreshments, so I hope everyone can make it. And the tickets are $10. And you can get them by going to 911expertsspeakout.org.
Well, thank you very much, Cheryl, for doing this. And we look forward to meeting you at the event. And I hope a lot of people come.
Yeah.
Likewise. And thank you. I really appreciate being on the show.
It was wonderful talking to you. Good night
okay.
now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Cheryl.
Curtis.
And, again, you can go to All Experts Speak Out. 911's expertspeakout.org.
And you can get your tickets, or you can get them that night at the door.
Yeah.
$10.
That's in West Hartford, Connecticut.
At the town hall.
So we got 40 seconds left. We want to say good night, and please join me tomorrow night when I enter the fourth dimension. And don't forget, Friday night we've got a big show with Peter Moon and George Dixon. And we discuss Peter's new book called... what is it called?
I haven't looked at it.
The Egypt, the mystery, and in tunnels. It's about the Egyptian tunnel and this 50,000-year-old Sphinx they found in Hungary.
Sounds very exciting.
It will be. So have a great evening, folks.
And good night, folks. Thanks for listening.
Back soon.